97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hope your Monday is going well. Annie is out again today. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Hope that you are at least starting your week well because it got cold all of a sudden. It was almost 90 degrees on Saturday, and here we sit today. I don't even think we're going to make 60. Feels like I'm on the East Coast, which is where I believe we find Fox Business senior correspondent Charlie Gasparino, who's joining us on the phone. Charlie, where do I find you today? You are in New York, New York, aren't you?
Well, today I'm actually in Miami.
So never mind. You're seeing East Coast at warm weather. How is it down in Miami? After the hurricane went through, did Miami see a lot of damage?
No. I mean, you know, they had some flooding, I think, but minor. I was supposed to do three conferences to sell my book. You know, I'm pushing a book right now called Go Woke, Go Broke, The Inside Story of the Radicalization of Corporate America. So I was doing three conferences. It got whittled down to one because wow. I could get in. You know, Sunday was fine. The airports were fine. The other two are going to be rescheduled for next week, for next month, sometime mid-month. But, you know, here I am, and it's glorious to be down here.
I'm sure the weather is awfully nice down there today.
Yeah, it's humid because it was raining, you know. So it's but you know, you deal with it. This is quite a town. I mean, I've been coming to Miami. Just a little background on me: I was a reporter, news reporter for the Wall Street Journal for 9 years before I went to Newsweek, when Newsweek was a major news magazine. And then I got into TV. But when I covered a lot of financial crimes, and I came to Miami, I think the first time in 1995, 96, and it was just like South Beach was just starting to be part of a renaissance. And now it's like another level.
Wow.
What's going on here? I mean, so I'm staying at the W on Brickell right now. Brickell was kind of a backwater. There was some financial firms, a few things. I mean, it was really, you know, it was sleepy. Now this place is packed. This is like New York, you know, almost. Brickell's the main road alongside the bay before you get to the bridge where you cross to Miami Beach. So it's quite a place down here.
Isn't Miami where you go from New York? Like, isn't there some sort of law that says once you get to a certain age in New York, you have to move to Miami?
Yeah, or move to Florida.
Or move to Florida, at least. Exactly. There yeah. seems to be a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't know about me, but it's getting crowded down here now, and so you know, but you know, listen, you have good government here. I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis knows what he's doing. The place runs pretty well. There's no income tax. You know, listen, they got clobbered by that storm, but you know, they're going to get through it because they have people that know what they're doing. I mean, this is not the situation you had in North Carolina where it looked like the public officials were flat-footed and didn't really know how to respond, and you know, they had to rely on FEMA, which is always a mess. You know, when you have, I mean, FEMA's there, right? But when you have competent people on the ground, which Ron DeSantis and his crew are competent, you know, it makes working with FEMA and the federal government, you know, much more easy. You know, it just becomes a different ball game.
You know, we were having the conversation on Friday that I don't know that I've ever seen a governor do a better job of taking charge of a bad situation more than DeSantis has done. He's really led the way.
He's an amazing operational governor. I mean, the guy is going to be a great CEO and make a lot of money if he wants to. If that's what he wants. He didn't do great as a candidate. I mean, there was a part of him, which if you talk to people that dealt with him, I never did. I've never interviewed him. I mean, people tell me he's a nice guy when they get to know you. But one thing about Trump, right? When you first meet Trump, whether it's the first time or the 10th time, there's a sort of like, you know, you could see his charisma. You see a connection. He just does this stuff really well. Like a lot of politicians do that stuff. I mean, Joe Biden, before, you know, he lost his mojo, so to speak, used to be very good at as being a retail politician.
Yeah.
Mario Cuomo was good at it. Andrew Cuomo, believe it or not, was good at it. I mean, there's like politicians have this thing. You know, Ron DeSantis isn't necessarily good at it, but he's good at, like, in my view, what really matters. And that's governing and operationally running a state. And he doesn't let anybody push him around either, which is another good thing.
You know, I kind of wonder about that from the standpoint of you think of Trump as a CEO. You think of DeSantis more as a COO because he understands operations and how to get the most out of everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's what's good about J.D. Vance. I mean, I don't know how you can't be impressed by him so far. I mean, he's been very good. I mean, first off, the guy is whip smart, and you know, he gets put in with these aggressive journalists and just eats their lunch every time. I mean, I can't believe they keep interviewing him. One after another gets, you know, they get kicked in the rear end, and then, you know, he scores big points. I mean, this thing he did on ABC was pretty remarkable. I mean, he hit him with something, and, you know, it didn't even take a second for him to, like, you know, go in for the kill, you know, and he didn't think twice about it. So, you know, J.D. Vance, I mean, the future of the Republican Party is pretty bright between J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis and, you know, even Nikki Haley. And, you know, there's a lot of really smart, competent people in this party. And, you know, we'll see what happens with this election. I gather my colleague Brett Baer, because I just read it, is going to interview Kamala Harris, which makes me think that her polling is not very good. I mean, if you're her right now, in your head, you don't push it, right?
Right.
You go, you basically do your speeches, you maybe do another sit down with Oprah or Oprah-like. Brett Baer is a really good journalist, and, there's a reason why she's doing it. My guess is the reason is that she's losing right now. The momentum, we don't see it maybe in the public polling, but she's got private polling. And I can tell you, I know the people that have the Trump private polling, they're telling me that he's starting to come on now. So this is interesting. The race, you know, it was fascinating that, you know, she started doing these interviews, softball interviews to introduce herself, and, you know, the public rejected it. This is kind of what happened the last time.
Yeah.
When she started getting known in 2019, you know, that's when she started losing. Like, she had that one sort of decent debate performance against Biden. He felt, like, uncomfortable, you know, hitting back at her when she essentially called him a racist by saying he was for busing or against busing.
Yeah, she was that little girl on that school bus, remember?
Yeah, and very... You know, with her PhD and the father and, you know, biologist mom, the little girl. But, you know, she scored one. Then the public got to know her and were like, ooh. Then because of a lot of reasons, including the intersectionality needs of the Democratic Party, she becomes the vice president. And now she's, you know, and then when Biden couldn't make it, you know, they went for her, and, you know, she's now, I bet they're wondering whether it was, like, a good move, whether they could have, you know, lasted Biden. You know, I think with Biden, the whole notion was just to get through those debates with Trump, and no one thought he would implode that badly. Like, if he imploded half as bad, he'd still be in the race, probably.
I agree. You know, we do a live chat poll every day on the show. And it's funny, when you were talking about Kamala, our poll for today is, what has hurt Kamala more, her lack of interviews or her media blitz that she's done, or nothing, she's killing it? And so far, it seems to be pretty well tied between her lack of interviews has hurt her. But to your point, even when she does the softball interviews, like the way she tripped over herself with The View, can you find a more friendly place if you were Kamala Harris to do an interview than The View? And when they lob up something, what would you do different than Joe Biden? And for her to say, nah, nothing. I can't think of anything. Really? You're trying to separate yourself from his bad economic policies and where the country is, and you're going to say nothing? But she does that every time she does an interview.
you know, you just really wonder about her. And she may be just, this might be a thing where she's just intellectually lazy. That she really, I mean, if you think about, you know, her trajectory, I mean, a lot of it was like, you know, she's Willie Brown's girlfriend. He pushes her, you know, inside the California Democratic machine.
Right.
And, she hits a lot of, again, intersectionality. She covers a lot of those bases. So she gets her card stamped in San Francisco. She becomes, you know, again, she's in the machine. And, you know, that Democratic machine in California is very much into, you know, gender-based, almost quotas in terms of who gets what in terms
right.
of offices.
Do you check a box?
She checked those boxes. She became, she wasn't known for anything specifically as San Francisco DA. She wasn't known for anything specifically as California Attorney General. Didn't do anything great. And then, you know, she punched her card. She got the shot at being senator. But you don't get the impression along the way she did anything. I mean, she might have been a good at politicking, you know, the sort of process stuff. But, you know, in terms of policy, she just didn't study that stuff. She didn't get into it. And you got to get into it a little bit. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, Bill Clinton was a policy wonk, right? You know, Barack Obama could talk everything, policy and whatever.
Yeah, right.
You don't even have to be that. You know, that sort of plugged in to policy. You know, Dick Cheney, like him or hate him, understood policy, right?
Right.
You don't have to be that. But she's not even close. Like, she has no policy chops. And it comes across when you ask her, what would you do differently? She couldn't figure out a policy difference.
We're talking with Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business senior correspondent. You know, it seems like she can't find a connection with people. To your point, you have the people who are the big policy people, and then you have the people like a Trump, a Clinton, a Reagan, Cuomo's. Like, they ooze that specialness, the it factor,
right.
I guess, for lack of a better term. She doesn't have that. And when you have to have Barack Obama go out and chastise black men for not supporting this first woman of color president, it really kind of tells you of how bad things are on the Kamala Harris train, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a low point for Obama. That, and today I saw something about Indigenous Peoples Day that he's celebrating. I guess he doesn't celebrate Columbus Day. I just think they're flailing right now. I mean, and that Obama statement, you know, and, you know, with the accent, which is not his. I mean, that's not him.
Right.
Barack Obama did not come from the hood. He grew up in Hawaii. He grew up with a white mom, you know, and, you know, white grandparents. And, you know, this guy does not, I mean, he can adopt an accent, but he doesn't, that's not natural to him. It's not natural to Kamala. And, you know, chastising black men in that accent came across to me kind of cheesy and weird.
Well, it's kind of, remember that Hillary Clinton thing when she was doing that? And,
yeah.
I don't mean no ways tired. I was like, what? What are you doing? You're a white woman from New York. What are you doing?
I'd be embarrassed to talk like that. I mean, it's embarrassing.
You know, it's the thing when you start talking about one of the big selling points these days, and I think this is kind of a sad commentary on just the state of where we are as a people, but being authentic is the thing that people are looking for more than anything else these days. And Kamala Harris, number one, it just can't be authentic. Because to your earlier point, when she is, people don't like her.
I don't think she ever, I mean, I don't know much about her. Maybe that's, you know, a friend of mine is, you know, is an investment banker who focused on munis over the municipal bond deals in California. So he had to deal with Kamala Harris because if you're the AG of the state, you know, that you play a role in the selling of state bonds. I think you actually even play a role in, you know, you're selecting the underwriter. So this guy got to know her. And, you know, he said something interesting to me. He goes, don't underestimate her because, you know, she's got a ruthless streak. But, and this is a huge but, she is not, she just, there's something missing there that, you know, She doesn't have natural charisma, and she doesn't have the policy chops to make up for it. Like, she doesn't immerse. I mean, she's not interested in governing. Like, you get the impression that, you know, I listened to Trump talk economic policy recently. I was in New York at the Economic Club in New York. And, you know, say what you want about Trump. He's crazy. And, you know, his rallies are like out there. Right. But I mean, he gave this speech where he granularly got into like his economic policy. He was talking about tariffs, how he's going to use them. He was talking about how they're going to take down the corporate tax rate. Why, you know, how certain companies are going to benefit from much lower corporate taxes if you domicile more jobs here. I mean, he got into some of the nitty gritty. You know, it was impressive. I mean, you know, he gets that. You know, I had an interesting conversation with Mark Cuban recently.
Okay.
And I said, you know, why can't she just articulate an economic plan? Well, you're asking too much of her. She didn't know she was getting the job until like a couple months ago. I said, Mark, she was vice president for 4 years.
Yeah.
What the hell was she doing? What was she doing? 4 years. I mean, you would think she'd get involved in some stuff, like, you know, it's, you know, when you're vice president, you get access to, you know, great information. People tell you stuff, you know, you got a staff, they brief you. I mean, you can't read up a little bit.
You would think that she's been getting the economic briefings as well. Hey, Charlie, before I let you get out of here, where do you think, 22 days away, where do you think this is going to end up? Do you think Trump's going to pull this out, or do you think we're in for some other October surprise between now and then that could change things?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, what the internal polls, Trump, what I don't understand is why the internal polls are so much different than these public polls. But then they'll tell you that, well, you know, you pay more for the internal polls. Okay, I got that. But, you know, is there really a silent Trump majority out there? If there is, he's won this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is. I think the internal polls are assuming that there are people that won't admit they're voting for Trump.
That seems to have been the point all the way through. I mean, it was true in 16. It was true in 20. You would expect that it's going to be true here.
We'll see. If it is, it's over.
Yeah.
Just based on the trends and where stuff is going and how close it is and on places where she should win, I think then it's done. If not, well, I mean, she can win. I mean, you know, anything's possible. But they are hyper confident over in Trump land, and they think things are breaking her way. And the one thing that makes me think that they're right is that she's doing this interview with Bret Baier.
Yeah, that definitely is not going to be something that she wanted to do. That's something she feels she is forced to do. It's kind of her Hail Mary pass at this point, it seems like.
It seems like to me, too.
That's Charlie Gasparino. Charlie, the new book is called Go Woke or Go Broke. Can we get that on Amazon, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bookstores, Amazon. I'll even sign it for you if you sell me the money.
What a guy. Hey, have fun down there in Miami. Safe travels. I look forward to seeing you on Fox Business again.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
That is Charlie Gasparino. He's a Fox Business senior correspondent, New York Post columnist. Go Woke or Go Broke is the name of the new book. And we're going to talk a little bit about elections and get into a little local stuff of what's going on. Kurt Barr, who's the director of elections out in St. Charles County, is going to join us. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what does he expect in these next 22 days and how is early voting going so far? Is it catching on a little bit more? We'll find out more when we talk to Kurt. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on St. Louis's Home for Conservative Talk.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
It's the Annie Fry Show. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Thanks to Ethan and John for helping out as well and keeping the wheels on the bus as they go round and round. YouTube live chat poll. We want to know from you. What do you think? Here's your question of the day. What has hurt Kamala more? Her lack of interviews, her media blitz, or nothing? She's killing it. I think we can agree she's not killing it. But right now it's kind of neck and neck to see, you know, some people are saying her lack of interviews, her Joe Biden, I'm going to hide in the basement mentality wasn't working out, it seemed like. So now they're putting her out there to do friendly interviews with The View and Oprah and places like that. And she still keeps tripping over her shoes on that one. So who knows where she's going to end up. But I do know we're about 22 days away from Election Day. And a lot of folks are going to vote on that day. But early voting is going to start 2 weeks before that. Absentee voting is going on now. So I wanted to kind of see, how are things going? How are these results comparing to others that we've seen? So I reached out to my friend Kurt Barr, who's the Election Authority Director in St. Charles County. Kurt, thanks for hanging out today.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for letting me come on.
By all means, man. It's always good to talk to you. I know you always have your finger on the pulse of what's going on with elections, but you just had some big news about how many registered voters are in St. Charles County that you put out the other day.
Yeah, St. Charles County just hit 300,000 registered voters before the deadline to register last week. And that is for our county. It also puts us in, you know, like the top 2%.
Your phone's breaking up on me a little bit. Can you get closer to the window?
I will get. How's this? Is this better?
Hey, that's beautiful. So you just You just crossed 300,000, and that puts you where?
That puts us number two in the state, and in within 2% of all of the election jurisdictions across the country. So most counties are obviously smaller than St. Charles,
right,
and most counties have much fewer voters than St. Charles County. So it's just an indication of just how fast and how large St. Charles County has grown.
What do you think is driving the new voters to come out? Do you think it's the Trump factor, or what do you think's doing it?
Well, as far as the new people registering, there's always excitement for a presidential election. We saw this with the Obama elections back in 2008. We saw this when Trump was first running. And so this is just an issue of people who don't typically get engaged recognize that a presidential election is important, and they want to make sure that they are registered so that they can vote Election Day.
So how are you seeing so far on the absentee voting? I get to look at your parking lot from my window across the street on a regular basis, and it seems like you have some pretty regular traffic, but how are the numbers going?
Yeah, we're averaging about 400 people a day,
wow.
And that's about a third of what we saw in 2020. So it's a lot more than other elections, but certainly a lot less than what we saw during the COVID pandemic when people were concerned about lines on Election Day.
So any idea in terms of like groups that are coming out, or are they older folks? Are they across the board? Are you seeing any kind of trends?
Honestly, it's across the board. I mean, I see young people who are coming in voting for the first time. I see a lot of elderly people. Right now, for the next week, we have the absentee voting. And so there is supposed to be a reason why you can't vote Election Day. And so generally, it's people who are going to be traveling, or college kids who are home for fall break. They're going to go on Election Day. But starting next Tuesday, October 22nd, that's when the 2 weeks of early voting begins, the no-excuse in-person absentee voting. And any voter can come to the Election Authority office or the satellite location that we have at Element Church. And at that time, they can just come in, vote just like they would Election Day, put their ballot in the ballot counter, and be on their way. And it's the process flows just like Election Day.
So what are the hours that they can do that at your two locations?
So at the Election Authority office at Highway 79 and Interstate 70, we're open from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then the two Saturdays before the election will be open also 8:30 to 4:30 for voters there. The Element Church satellite location, starting October 22nd, they're going to be open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A little bit shorter hours, and they are not open on the Saturdays. So if you need to vote on a Saturday, come to the Election Authority office. But if you live on the western half of the county, then Element Church from 9 to 3, that's where you can go and cast your ballot before Election Day.
Libby Lou, who was just asking me online, are we past the absentee ballot request window, or can you still do that?
Ballots by mail can be requested up until Wednesday, the 23rd. Now, I encourage all voters, if you're going to ask for a ballot by mail, please ask for it as soon as possible, because we have to rely on the Postal Service to get it to you and then get it back from you. But we've been mailing ballots for the last 3 weeks now, and we've mailed out about 6,000 ballots, which is about, you know, a third to a fourth the number we saw in 2020, but certainly a lot more than we see in, you know, the August election.
So I assume you have the opportunity to talk to other election authorities around the state. What are they seeing so far? What are you guys gearing up for at this point?
Well, we're across the state, we're seeing lower turnout for absentee voting, fewer ballot by mail requests, fewer in-person absentee voters. So we're expecting either the 2 weeks before the election to be busier, or we're expecting to see a busy election, and it's probably going to be a little bit of both. So election day, you can expect to see a line, but you know, I think in St. Charles County, we've got a good system set up that line should move quickly, and you know, voters shouldn't have to have a excessive wait at any of their polling places.
So we just had the primary back in August. How was primary turnout compared to years past?
Primary turnout, we were about 30%. And that's about average for a August turnout. For whatever reason, voters just don't see those August elections as being important, even though in St. Charles County, you know, the people who won in August, a lot of them are unopposed in November. And so the August election really was the primary election, or the significant election.
Which is kind of surprising, isn't it? I mean, you're seeing it. I guess it works the same. If you're in the city, the primary is really your election for city voters. If you're in St. Charles, for the most part, I mean, our demographics are changing as people flee the city and come to St. Charles. But out there, it's really more of the Republican primary. It's kind of surprising that more people wouldn't vote in the primary, isn't it?
I think so. You know, we try to get the word out to voters, letting them know where their polling place is, when the election is. But you know, voters, they can choose to participate or not participate in the election. But I do think that this November 5th, a lot of people are going to choose to participate because they see the presidential election as being, you know, significant to, you know, their future.
So when you look at the November election, there are an awful lot of things that are on this ballot. A, how long is your ballot this year?
So the ballot is 17 inches front and back. That is a long ballot. And the back half of the ballot are the five constitutional amendment changes that offered by initiative petition, and then the one statute change offered by the state legislature. And then in St. Charles County, three local jurisdictions also have a ballot measure. So depending on where you live, you may or may not see a fire board issue or an annexation issue on the ballot as well. And then, of course, we have the judge retention questions. You know, all our appellate justices and our Supreme Court justices, you know, stand to be retained every so often. And then we have all of the 11th Circuit judges, the federal positions, the state positions, and then the county council positions.
Wow, that is a lot to get through. So I know you and I have talked before about this. When you run into elections like a presidential election, which gets a lot of attention, and people want to vote for president, and they come out and they may be an every 4 year voter. What percentage of those, and you may not know this, so sorry for asking you unprepared, but what percent of those voters just go in and mark president and they really don't get to much of anything else?
So that does happen, but there isn't really a way for me to know that without physically looking at every single ballot.
Makes sense.
Now, you can see that in the, you know, election results, the number of votes cast for president is going to be higher than, say, the votes cast for the Secretary of State race, even though all the same voters could vote for one or the other. Or if you look at the judges who are unopposed, you know, fewer people are going to fill in a bubble for an unopposed judge than they will for the president. But how many of those people are just not voting for an unopposed person, and how many of them are just voting top of ticket and just leaving the rest of the ballot blank? That, you know, that's a hard thing to know just by looking at the election results.
We're talking with Kurt Barr, who's the Election Authority Director in St. Charles County. Are you hearing about any particular things that are going on with elections around the state, like anything that your other election authority directors are looking at? Maybe they're trying something different with this election?
Well, one thing that a lot of the election authorities are doing, actually, it was the St. Charles County Communications Office put together a beautiful at-a-glance election flyer that's on our website, and it has all the information about the opportunities for the 2 weeks of early voting and what the issues are that are going to be on the ballot. And that I shared with the election clerks from across the state, and a lot of them have copied that and are sharing that same information to their constituents. So what we're trying to do is just make sure that people understand what their options are. If they can't vote election day, how they can either ask for an absentee ballot by mail or how they can come to the election authority office the two weeks before an election and cast a ballot. And so we're just trying to be as engaged with the public as possible so that they know what their options are so they can be able to come in and cast their ballot. Because the job of the election authority is to help the voters to be able to get their ballot and cast that ballot.
It's a really cool piece, and it breaks it down. Federal offices, initiative petitions, St. Charles County, legislative, statewide, and judicial offices. So kudos to you for putting that out there. We were talking with somebody earlier about Constitutional Amendment 3 and all the different things that are there, because with a lot of these initiative petition things, people generally know the headlines. They don't really understand all the different things and sort of what I'll call the meat and the potatoes of these ballot issues when they first walk in. Is there a good source that you would lead people to say, hey, if you want to find out the full breadth of what Amendment 2 or 6 or 7, what they really say, where would you send people to get more information?
Yeah, so first I'll say that at every polling place, there will be this very large poster that has the language of how the Constitution would be amended or how the statute would be amended for these ballot measures. And so that will be up at every polling place. But I encourage voters to, research that before Election Day. So you can either go to the St. Charles County Election Authority website, or you can go to the Secretary of State website. And from there, you can see what we call the fair ballot language, which is the more broad summary of the ballot measures. And you can also find the link and click on and see exactly how the new language would affect the Constitution or affect the statute. And so you can read that, see what's added, see what's deleted, to see how it would actually read. And so that's available on the Secretary of State website, and it's linked at the Election Authority website in St. Charles.
So we're 22 days out from Election Day. Any advice that you would give to voters to make the experience as good as it can possibly be?
One, check on these ballot measures and the candidates running that will be on your ballot and decide how you want to vote so that you can vote as quickly as possible. Two, if you have the opportunity, come to the Election Authority office the 2 weeks before the election or the satellite location at Element Church and go ahead and avoid the lines Election Day and vote early. But three is that Election Day will be busy, but give yourself time. Make sure that you can get to your polling place and assume 30 minutes to an hour to stand in line and to be able to cast your ballot. And then give yourself that time so that you don't see a line out the door and say it's not worth it. Because that's the one thing I never want for a voter to do is to show up at a polling place and see a line and go, I don't have time for it. So give yourself time. And, of course, bring your photo ID, because that is the one thing in Missouri that you have to vote is your photo ID.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate you taking the time. Good luck with everything. I know this is like your Super Bowl, presidential election time. It's the time when you've got all hands on deck. So I wish the best to you, to your staff, and to the election authority judges. People, I would say this as a public service message, and I bet Kurt will echo this. Be nice to your election authority judges. These folks are out there trying to help you. So be nice to our election authority judges. They're doing the best they can to help you with the process. Is that fair?
That is fair, and I couldn't say it any better.
Well, I appreciate it. Kurt, good luck with everything, and we will check in with you probably after the election for sure, but maybe before.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
That is Kurt Barr, the Election Authority Director at St. Charles County. They do have a really nice piece that they put out about the November 5th general election, just talking about everything that's on the ballot. You got a lot in there, and I would highly encourage you, if you can go vote early. I was there for the primary, and man, I walked in probably a week before elections, and there was nobody in line. You just walk right up. They give you the exact same ballot that you're going to have. They check your stuff. I was in and out in no time. But you're going to need some time to read through all of this stuff. Take the time, get informed, so you walk in as an educated voter. But let's be honest, this is a 97.1 audience. You guys are pretty informed on everything that's going on. So I know, like I said on Friday, I know when I say stuff like that, I'm preaching to the choir, but we appreciate you. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Hope your Monday is going well. I'm still trying to get used to, I know I keep saying this all day, but it's kind of the hot bug. When we change temperature times of a year, sometimes I go well with that, sometimes I don't. And I was not ready for it to be 58 degrees for a high today. I was ready for it to still be warm. Scott Fawn is hanging out with us today. We're going to talk to Scott quite a bit more after the top of the hour, but just wanted to say hi.
Oh, so glad you so much for having me.
Sorry that I should have told Ethan that you were going to talk in that way. There you go. It's better now that people can hear you.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Mike. Your voice is the perfect radio voice. I haven't been intimidated, been on the radio in a while, but I'm a little intimidated.
I appreciate the fact that you had me on your show on the F-150 tour for the primary. How many miles did you drive for that? Because you had to just drive the wheels off that truck.
Right around 12,000 we put on. And we're fixing a fire up. We're going to start off this coming Friday. We'll start off again over in Kansas City for the F-150 tour. Kicks off. It'll run all the way through Election Day.
You'll hit like 3, 4, 5 cities in a day, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, in rural Missouri, we call them towns. So okay. We might hit a town or two. But, yeah, it'll be it's always fun. I always say, you know, sometimes I get in the habit of staying in Jeff City in my little world, thinking I know everything. But when you go have a beer in Marshall, Missouri, then you go have one at Stan's in South City, and you're going to actually hear what folks think. It's funny, Mike. I think people like to talk about politics a little bit. Now, not too much,
right?
They like to share their views. If you ask them in a good way and you buy them a beer, you can learn a lot about what the people of Missouri think for the bargain price of a Bud Light.
You didn't make it to Oktoberfest in St. Charles, did you?
I did not make it this year.
Faust family wanted you to come because after when we did that down in Frontier Park in St. Charles, and you were singing the praises of Oktoberfest, and it was awesome this year, by the way. They wanted you to come so bad.
It is the best in the state. In Jeff City, we like to tease St. Charles folks a little bit, but one thing you cannot tease St. Charles folks about, that Oktoberfest is off the chain. I've heard from Lee Summit people trying to say, no, I've heard from Soulard people. No, you can do everything and family stuff at the Oktoberfest in Soulard, or in St. Charles. It is the top of the top.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know they do as well. And I know Friday they were really worried because it poured on Friday, and they're like, oh Lord. And that's an event where you are completely weather dependent, right?
Yes.
But people saved up on Friday and showed up on Saturday, and man, did they burn through some beer. They went through more kegs at Oktoberfest this year, I think, than they ever had. And you really lost a day. And they still burn through all of it. I was there with Rotary on Sunday, Rotary and Cottleville Weldon Spring Chamber. I was pouring Sunday morning, and we had a line that folks showed up. Because you know the old joke, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
You got to start in the morning. That's exactly right.
Words of wisdom.
That should be a German proverb, really, right there.
I think it should. So that is Scott Fawn. We're going to talk with Scott more on the other side. I was going to play you some clips from J.D. Vance because Charlie Gasparino talked about it a little bit of how well J.D. Vance does in dealing with these reporters who want to try to call him on the carpet. And Martha from ABC tried to do that on Sunday, and J.D. just took her to the woodshed on the whole thing. So we'll probably play some of that as we get into the 2 o'clock hour. But it's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. We appreciate the fact that we're part of your Monday. Scott Fawn, we're going to talk a little Missouri politics on the other side.
Get more at 971talk.com.